Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor J. Aparicio, doing all great things on WNST Baltimore Positive. Nestor, welcome in.
I don't know if it's great. Some days it's better than others. I've been pretty good this week, though. If you put the radio on this week, and you know when I'm doing great segments is when they go long. Like Bill Cole and I went over an hour on the stadium issue. Mike Rosenfeld and I started this. He wound me up last week. You know, we did it. He's our chief digital officer here, and he was going to Chicago to Wrigley Field to see what they've built out there casino wise and all. He's my chief digital officer. He runs Web Connection. He's like you. He's an executive.
I've talked to him before. Haven't met him, but I've talked to him on the phone.
We try to do intelligent conversation here, you know, and by the time I got to Bill Cole and I got into the conversation, Bill, who supports me and supports what we do here, because I'm the only guy willing to talk about stuff that other people aren't willing to talk about. I mean, Bill's very politically, like, sort of independent, you know, doesn't believe anybody and wants to get facts on everything. And the stadium thing's fascinating because John said this will be sorted by the All-Star break, which is 2 weeks from now. The team's relevant, but still not drawing any, you know, it isn't drawing the enthusiasm that maybe they expected. Maybe they have to work. They definitely have to work harder. You have to work harder. I have to work harder. Okay. We all have to work harder. But we were talking about this, but there's no thought in the public. No one's talking about the fact that they don't have a lease. And what is Wes Moore going to give them, and what do they want? Wes Moore sent me a political text, and I like Wes. And Wes likes me, you know, at least for now. And I told Wes I'd be critical. We sat down at Costas and said, I'm not here to kiss your ass. Like, I said that to him literally out loud. As the last thing I said before I hit play is, I'm not going to be the one kissing your ass. You're about to become governor. You know, tough questions are part of this deal. And I love the red line, and I want to have him on and talk about that. But the stadium thing, he sent me a text wanting money. It was a donation thing. His people sent it. He's wearing an Oriole jersey and saying, with the passion that I had at the Orioles game. And I'm thinking to myself,
he's
hold on,
visible.
Boss.
Yeah, I've seen him at the Oriole game. I've been there when he's been there.
Hey, hold on. Tell me about the lease. Tell me what we're giving John Angelos after 30 years of mismanagement. Now, what we're going to give them to make more money for a billionaire. Like, tell me what we're going to be doing and how it's going to work. You put the red line together and I sell me in on it. And if I'm a citizen and I either buy it or don't buy it, but at least give me a chance to buy it. Give me some facts. Give me a chance to say, all right, this is a good idea for some people and not other people. Or this is a good idea for most people, but not everybody. There are very few things other than clean water and, you know, that are good for everybody. But and even that's not good for everybody, right?
not in Flint, Michigan anyway.
No, but what I'm saying is if you're the guy coming into Flint to sell it, you don't want them to have clean water. You want to sell them your water. So I guess my point is there are civic issues for all of us, public safety, all these things that I sit here and that I've changed my life to talk about. So much so that Chad Steele threw me out. Now it's all I talk about. But it is all I talk about. And the lease and them not having a lease and them playing good baseball and a new governor who's going to run for president at some point and who that's great. But tell me how this fixes the place. Tell me how giving John Angelos money after giving Peter Angelos the farm for 30 years and Bisciotti was so grateful for the $600 million that they gave him, he didn't even show up and say thank you. He sent Sashi and Chad down for $600 million. Imagine you and Mr. Coons or me, my partners getting together and going to the state and saying, our business is so significant, we need $600 million, and then we're going to ban media members, and we don't even live here anymore. Like, this thing's really gone a long way. And I think the thing that inspired it was that I had Rick Vaughn on this week. You were familiar with Rick?
No, I don't think so. Where have I heard the name from?
He was the longtime PR director of the Orioles.
Okay.
He came to the Orioles in the 80s. He was there with Cal Ripken and Alan Wiggins and the 0-21. He was there for Why Not. He was the actual architect. Everyone gives him credit. Were you at the last game at Memorial Stadium?
No, it was not.
Came out the Field of Dreams and they did all that. No. That was his orchestration of the Field of Dreams when my cousin came out in the 66 jersey and they all had the era pieces. So Rick went on to run the Tampa Rays PR for 20 years through both ownerships, through the World Series. He was the one that brought my wife on the field in 15 to throw the first pitch out during Give a Spit. So Rick came on this week. Rick works for Joe Madden now. Rick works for Respect 90, which is Joe Madden's foundation out of Hazleton, Pennsylvania. Rick runs a lot of baseball charities and things like that. So he lives in Tampa. We played the Rays. I called him. And all I can think about with Rick Vaughn, other than him not giving me a parking lot A pass back in 1992 and how angry I was at him, and 30 years later we had a laugh about it this week, was just how hard it was to build the Orioles, how hard it is to build Koons Baltimore Ford, how hard it is to build one dealership, let alone what Mr. Koons has done, how hard it is to have a radio station, an AM radio station, still supported by people like you and all of the good people that support us after 25 years, that you have to do things the right way. And every day, my career's at risk, my word's at risk, my reputation, my integrity. And the stadium situation sits here, and we all go down and and it's like this guy's about to get hundreds of millions of dollars to allegedly help economic development. Okay, I mean, that's fine. Now give me the plan. And I guess that's, as the guy who sits here, I'm the only one asking for it. I haven't heard anybody else say, so we're without a lease. John told Nestor at something that he got hijacked. I had to go hijack a tourism press conference to ask him a question. And he gave the Rocket Fred Glare speech 5 years ago, 4 years ago, whenever that was. Then we had a plague and no one came. Now he's got a good baseball team. You can't watch the games. I mean, people that there were mass in one, mass in two, You're trying to find the games. They're everywhere. You're on Peacock. You have to pay to, you have to give email addresses on a Friday night to Apple. You have to give money to Peacock on a Sunday. Like, they start the game. Like, fine, I'll follow along. I mean, I got Geddy Lee on my chest. I'm a baseball guy, right? But my last name's Aparicio. I can't run from it unless I change my name, right? But the stadium thing, and what we're about to give the Angelos family, and what we're about to give Major League Baseball, and what Wes Moore and the politicians and the city and Brandon and everybody, what are we expecting out of this that we haven't already seen over the last 30 years that hasn't deteriorated from the race cars going through the city to whatever? Like, at some point, and I'm as big a sports guy, I've written books. All of my preludes are about how important sports is. I've made my living in sports. Luke and I talked about why we feed our families, despite the fact that Chad Steele doesn't believe that. And I'm trying to put the value on it just from a conversational standpoint to say, what does John want? What should John get? Why did Steve do his deal with Larry? Why is Steve on a yacht down in Florida and doesn't? And there'll be no controversy with Steve moving the franchise or any of that. And John's about to step into it or not. And this is just a fascinating thing that nobody's talked about, Dan.
Well, for me, Ness, I like success. I like successful teams, organizations, et cetera. That's why I marvel at the Yankees when George Steinbrenner was the owner. He would invest so much money in the team. He would buy championships, and it was great for their fan base. It was great for the city of New York. And to me, that's really been the gold standard when I look at baseball and franchises and organizations.
That's amazing, because most people would you know, Steinbrenner was reviled, right? Like, in for a lot of reasons and a lot of ways. And like, and I, you know, I was near him at the end of his life, but it is amazing his want to win. And if you go back and read the Peter Principles, Angelos chased him at the first six chapters very, very unsuccessfully, right, to the point where he was giving money to Jeff Conine and David Segui and didn't know what the hell he was. I mean, literally, by the time you get to about chapter 7 or 8 in the Peter Principles and I haven't released it yet, Peter was writing huge, huge checks of his own money, chasing things that didn't exist within the franchise, the revenue. You know what I mean? He was losing a lot of money, and that's well documented. And that's something that I talked about respectfully on the air to some degree, like, hey man, he wants to win. He just doesn't know what he's doing. And we gave him all this money, and then people stopped giving him money. There was that period between like 01 and 06 after the Ravens won the Super Bowl, where all of the suites came up for renewal in 02 and no one bought them. and he didn't have a good team, and he didn't have a good reputation. But the Masson money saved him.
Right.
Like, that's really, and that was two decades ago now, and they have worked with basic immunity, right? Like, literally civic immunity. There's been no criticism of Peter, of his legacy. If he dies tomorrow, everybody will talk about what a great guy he was and his name's on the building and all that. But the baseball team and the franchise and the city and the future, it is what it is right now. And this is where they have to start to build. And I guess what I talked to Rick Vaughn about was, man, you found a different Baltimore with the Colts leaving. Everybody thought the baseball team was headed to DC. They did. They really did. Had a DC owner, all of that. And it didn't happen. This miracle happened here. You know, like literally Camden Yards was our gateway arch. You know, it was our big civic idea along with after Harbor Place to make our city grand, you know, and the baseball team and Cal Ripken and Boogs Barber, it was going to be grand. And it wasn't. I lived through it. I lost $250,000 in a condo down. I lived through it not being grand. And now there should be a grand plan, Dan. I guess that's my point. Where's the grand plan?
Well, you talk about grand plan, but I think it goes step and step, lockstep with legacy. And again, I'm going to go back to George Steinbrenner. He was spending, his expenditures were $250 million a year back then, but he was netting $250 after expenses. And that's his legacy, whereas the Angelos family has made, I'm going to guess, about $50 million a year by not lifting a finger, by letting things play out as it is, relying on that Masson contract, keeping the payroll of the team low. And so when you talk about legacy and legacy names and teams, organizations, as much as we revile and despise the Yankees around here, I bet you George Steinbrenner is revered up in New York. But to me, as a sports fanatic, you got to love what he did with the team, how much money he spent on the team. He wanted quality, and he won championships, right? What, they've averaged a championship every 4 years, if I'm not mistaken. Well, where are the Orioles in all this? What is their legacy, right? What is Peter Angelos' legacy at this point? And then you have, as you mentioned, the stadium situation. Like you said, nobody's talking about. We have a young and up-and-coming team. I have zero confidence that we're going to be able to sign these young players and keep them here in Baltimore. I think.
Well, if we are, there better be a way to find money. And there better be good ideas. There better be good ideas around it. And that's – I don't see – a bright idea, TJ Brightman. I hear the ads now. Like, where's the bright idea? Bring me the bright idea that's going to revitalize our city the way Larry Lucchino, along with Rick Vaughn and Marty Conway and Bob Brown and Janet Marie Smith and, I mean, the people. The only reason we got the football team is because at that time the baseball team was doing so well.
Yeah.
This seemed like a great place to be because they built this enduring, it's 30 years old, and it's the only reason to go to the ballpark until this year, right? Is the ballpark itself was the only reason to go to the ballpark, right? And I just, where are the good ideas? Where's the intelligent conversation? There is no conversation because John runs and hides on Martin Luther King Day and then shows up and hijacks Jason Lock and Fora. I mean, if John wants to be a real man, here it is. Come sit with me and Luke, Dennis, Bill Cole, anybody wants to sit here and have an intelligent conversation about the future of the city and the baseball's team role in it as a successful community endeavor. That's a really basic proposition if you're trying to get $600 million from Westmore.
Well, here's the question.
This should be out in front. Nobody should be hiding from this.
Yeah, but you know? To me, it should be a quid pro quo situation where you want to get this for that, meaning that not just if the city throws money at this team and the organization, the team has a responsibility to be competitive, to try to win. I have zero confidence that they're going to sign Gunnar Henderson down the road or Adley Rutschman down the road. If both of those guys go down the road that Manny Machado went, guess what? I mean, I'm about to go to my fifth game this year because I want to see these players. If they can't sign, if they can't extend these pillars of this organization, I will quickly lose interest because they will start losing again. It's real simple for me as a fan.
The integrity of all of it, for you to talk about them trying to win every year and they never did. And look, we had a general manager who was a friend of mine who was a legend who killed himself. And before he killed himself, I talked to him a lot. And I know a lot. And I have a lot of facts. And things like McPhail running the franchise saying, why feed them steak when they'll eat hamburger? Right? And the notion at all, like if you
go back and listen, statement. That just went right through me, by the way. It went right through me. Never heard that before. Why feed them steak when they'll settle for hamburger? Are you kidding me? Wow. That is just a horrific mindset from
these were the words of Mike Flanagan to me about
Strong.
The mindset of the Baltimore Orioles in 2007,
strong,
8, and 9.
Strong,
And here's the thing. Angelos gets the Mastin deal, right? In 04, 5, 6. The money starts flooding in 6, 7, 8, 9, right? And he's keeping all the money. Remember, it was 90, 10. It was like John's on the executive plan for however millions of dollars that it was his salary, and it's a family business. Nope. The Major League Baseball can't touch it. Nobody's touching it. The Nationals aren't even allowed to know how much it generates, and they own 10% of it. Right?
Right.
So, and they still have never gotten the money, right? The other night they agreed to give the Nationals $99.2 million for 2012 to 16. That's the disputed period. Now the Nationals have to go figure out how they get the money from 16 to 23. So it's unbelievable, and they can't sell their franchise. This is two decades later, and Joe Foss said this to me, mild-mannered Joe Foss, over a coffee, you know, 15 years ago when I was writing about the 10 years ago when I was writing about this. He said that when Major League Baseball sent Bob Dupay down here to negotiate with Peter about Washington baseball, and Peter was by any stretch not trying to get rich and leverage Washington baseball. Peter was making sure it never happened. And then once they made it happen, there was hell to pay. And that's what the Peter principles is all about in the end, which was they gave him a get out of jail. They gave him a television network and two teams and almost all of the money for the first 10 years, if not into perpetuity, where he still was kind of screwing them and could screw them. They gave him the license to screw the Nationals, which he's done for two decades. But the idea, the whole premise in all of this, and the big lie was the TV network's going to leave us on pace with the Yankees and the Red Sox. We're going to be able to have that revenue when we have all the revenue from two major cities, Baltimore, Washington region. We get all the television. We're going to keep North Carolina, keep Delaware, and we're going to have two franchises, and they're going to compete and be buddies and be cousins, and it's going to be like the Yankees and the Mets. And we're two decades into this, and he can't even pay the bills. And clearly, the product in the field's been garbage. By and large, garbage. And in the end, the money from Mastin it's evaporated. It's gone. Now it's level set. Now they are a pauper franchise, right? In the equal world of how many fans do they have? How many fans can they get? Much like the Ravens, the reason Jack Kent Cook never wanted the Ravens to exist was he knew it would cut into his market. And
Absolutely.
Then I sit with Dick Cass 15 years into the Ravens being here and winning two championships. And Dick Cass says, well, you know, we bump our heads down in Bowie, and then, you know, we can't really go north beyond Elkton, and we can't really go west past Frederick because Steelers, Redskins, Eagles, they're all there. There's nowhere for us to grow unless we get a Lamar Jackson and turn Ravens fans in Bemidji into Ravens fans, right? Like we become the Packers or the Steelers or the Cowboys. We become this global franchise like the Yankees are, right? Or like the Dodgers are, I guess, at this point. All of these regional teams in baseball just die because the sport is set up that all the best players wind up going to the five or six teams that can pay them. And this is going on all of our lifetime. It's not a fair fight, right? It's just not. And now where we are, the baseline of all of this is the Orioles are a lousy franchise. It's not about Boog or Brooks. They play in a great stadium in a troubled city in a market that's 38 miles away from a team that will always have more money, that's been tourniqueted by the malfeasance of the owner here because of the media rights there, and they never squeezed a drop out of it, and they won a championship down there and had a parade and were pretty good by and large for Lerner's ownership. So where are we now? Where we're now is young players, Adley Rutschman, blah, 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 blah. Nobody's going to the games. The TV, I don't know how they can have ratings when I can't even watch them. I can't even find them. They won't let me watch them. And I've told this story 10 times this week, but I'm going to tell it 11, Dan. You didn't go to Skipjack games, right? Or did you?
I did. Skipjack.
Remember the guy
Skipjack's
in the
Warpath
hat?
Go. Absolutely.
You remember Jeff Amder?
Yes.
Jeff Amder had the red hat on, the fireman's hat. Yep. He's a school teacher, lifer teacher, a beautiful man, huge sports fan, right? I mean, huge Oriole fan. The last time I went to Oriole Fan Fest, I took a picture with him. He was there, right? Waiting in line, hanging out, buying tickets, Oriole stuff. He had a fall and an injury and is in the hospital. So in the hospital, they only give you Mass in one. So in the days when the Orioles play, he can't even watch the Oriole game. And I'm thinking to myself, what are you doing, TJ Brightman? What are you doing, Rob Manfred? What are you doing, John Angelos? You know, focused on Oakland moving, focused on getting Tampa Stadium, focused on the regional sports network model just imploding? Or are you trying to get Adley Rutschman to a lifer Oriole fan on a Sunday afternoon? Or are you trying to screw him to make more money while you ask Wes Moore for more money, while you ask the fans for more money, while next year you're going to want more money? And while you're going to want more money because the product's good now, so the bleacher seats are $40. If the squirt zone gets too popular, they'll raise the prices and add another one. I mean, I get it, but I'm not an ATM. I'm a fan. I'm a citizen. I'm a community member. I'm a media member. I'm an Aparicio. I love baseball. Recruit me. You don't need to rub my feet. You got a good product. Now, tell me why Baltimore on the front matters other than you want to sell stuff.
Right.
Right? I mean, right. Like, what are you doing? So come out of your closet, get your ass in here, get your boots off and put your sandals on and put your Oriole Hawaiian shirt on and your floppy hat on and get here and sell it. Sell it. You sell cars. I sell media. Like, sell your product. You got a good product. You're proud of your product. You should be proud of your product. Finally, after turtling up for years because the product was garbage and nobody should have been proud of it. But at least you said you had a plan. You followed. So great. What's the next plan? How is this baseball team going to make our city better? That was the whole promise of the stadium. That's why we bought it the first time, right?
Riddle me this, Nestor. How much money does a person, does a family need? I've always been curious about that because
– more.
I mean, come on now. It's. I remember owners like Eddie DeBartolo Jr. of the 49ers, right? The guy was first class by all accounts, flew his players first class with their wives, had pink towels at the hotels to make them feel at home. I mean, he invested back into his team, his players. He loved his players. He was proud of his legacy. He was beloved. He still is by all in the San Francisco area, in the Bay Area, right? Because he was a phenomenal owner. So to me, that's a legacy. And you, I imagine you get to a certain level with billions of dollars. I mean, how many more do you need before you give back, before your legacy?
You have enough money to be nice. You have enough money to be honest. You have enough money to be involved. But if you don't have enough time when you're doing nothing but hanging on your yacht, and you're not really running anything. Right. You don't have enough time to just show up once in a while beyond on a video or writing a check or blowing on a cigar and having Chad Steele issue a press release, then that's not what Art Modell and David Modell were. That's not what Kevin Byrne and Baker Koppelman. That's not what Roy Summer. That's not what selling PSLs. Dennis, so Rick Vaughn was on this weekend. I ask you, you know, listen to everything I do here. Go listen to the Rick Vaughn piece because you brought up George Steinbrenner. Rick Vaughn brought up George Steinbrenner. You know why he brought him up? Because he worked in Baltimore. He worked for a great owner in Lucchino. He worked for a terrible owner in Angelos and got the hell out of here. He then went and worked for the Redskins at the end of Jack Kent Cook. Okay. And then he went and worked for terrible owners in Tampa, the Moya League, just terrible owners down there, right? To get that thing started. And he talked about the only thing that matters. And this is a guy doing this 40 years is the owner. He said the only thing that matters in a franchise is the owner. And he talked
Very
about
true.
What an incredible legacy, his word, that the Tampa Bay Lightning owner is leaving in Tampa with his involvement in taking a hockey puck in a 90-degree temperature where they told him it would never work in a pretty lousy-ass arena downtown, in a pretty lousy-ass downtown. I mean, downtown Tampa, there ain't nothing downtown Tampa. I mean, I'm not being mean. It's not run down. It's clean. It's safe. I walked through it 4 months ago. But, like, there's nothing there.
It's not Miami. That's safe to say.
And they have turned the hockey team into the most important thing there. Even when Tom Brady's winning championships, even when the baseball team has been phenomenal and has this phenomenal, everybody wants to be the Rays in baseball, except for their fan base and where they play and that nobody cares about them. And they change their name and their uniforms every 3 years and still can't sort of catch on. And the Lightning, the Bolts own Tampa. And the other thing that Vaughn told me, and I want to give this to you about Steinbrenner, he said he hated Steinbrenner because he was in Baltimore and the Yankees. And then he got down to Tampa and saw George Steinbrenner's name on everything. and realized that everywhere he went and every person he ran into selling Tampa Bay Devil Rays baseball, every one of those people talked well about George Steinbrenner.
Of course.
Every one of them in Tampa and what he did in the community in Tampa while he's shooting off his mouth in New York. And he's from Cleveland. So, you mentioned Steinbrenner, and I'm going to revisit that. You know, a lot of people have written books about Steinbrenner. I've had guests on here who've written books about Steinbrenner. And like Kevin Cowherd chased him around on the beat back in the day. I mean, in the day when he was in elevators at the Bergen Record and Steinbrenner's firing Billy Martin and Bob Lemon and Bob Watson and all of that stuff. He covered all of that from the inside. I've had a lot of guys on. Mike Vaccaro was on recently who has covered Steinbrenner. You've opened my mind in a way that my dad always hated Howard Cosell, so I did until I started to do this for a living. And now Howard Cosell is a different kind of culture.
I like guys that like winning championships. That's me. The owners that chase championships, even if they can buy championships, sign me up. I think it's fantastic for the fan base. Why wouldn't it be? Whether you have a Tom Brady with Bob Kraft, and I'm not saying that in the NFL, everybody has the same amount of money. But when you chase championships at any level, I'm all in. I'm all about that. Why wouldn't I be? Because to me, it's legacy. How many rings does an owner have?
The first thing they need to do is recruit the community. That's it. You have to recruit customers at Coons, Baltimore, Ford. I've had to recruit. Right, I've done 25 years of my life in my name and my out on the line everywhere I go, everything I do to create significance so I can have a career doing this.
But it starts with winning, though. The winning is what attracts. Winning is attractive.
Well, they have that.
Winning championships is extremely attractive, and that's what you build from.
Okay, but they're winning right now. They've recruited you. You've given them money. You're going to give them more money.
Absolutely.
You're going to go down there.
Absolutely.
How
will.
Can they do more of? How can they do more and better? That should be a question they wake up every day
asking.
They're
on the right track.
Or them waking up and saying, "Hey, we won last night. Let's scream about winning."
They're on the right track, and let's see where it goes, and enjoy the ride while we can.
Well, I'm engaged. The Mariners are in town this weekend, but they don't have a lease. I don't want to be the bad guy. I that doesn't make me a jerk. It just makes me the one guy willing to ask them, what's going on? That's all. Just what's going on? Give me an update, because it's important to me, because Baltimore is important to me, right? And the baseball team's important to me, even though the Angelos family's never sort of understood that I'm on their side. I said that to Mike Elias when I met him. I'm like, you know, I did Free the Birds. He's like, oh, yeah, I know who you are. And I said, I did Free the Birds so that a guy like you would come along and fix it.
There you go.
You know, so yeah. Anyway.
Great stuff, Nestor. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you. I'll see you on Monday, man. It's good. It feels good being back. We're talking about relevant stuff here. Obviously, the football team. Crab cake tours are happening. I'm at Spirits West on Wilkins Avenue for all the St. Joe Gales out there.
All
this
right,
week.
There you go.
Pike is going to come and sing the fight song and do all that stuff. And I have for you. I will invite you if you can make it. I know you have big plans on Thursday, but I have Chad Wiesling out. Chad Wiesling is the NFL agent for Josh Jacobs.
Oh, very
and
nice.
And he lives in Canton, and he's a lifer buddy of mine.
I want to hear that.
And he's a Terp. And he said, I have a lot on my mind about running backs and money. Oh. Maybe we should talk about that. So he's coming out for a crab cake. So you're going to like that. All right?
Love that. All right, man. Can't wait to hear that segment.
Sponsor this station because we do good stuff.
There you go. Absolutely. I appreciate it, man. There he goes. Nestor J. Aparicio here, 1570 AM, Baltimore Positive, WNST, where we never stop talking sports. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.